Through Psalm 23, as we continue in our meditation in Psalm 23, and are grateful for the opportunity we have to continue this meditation. I'm not sure how long we should continue because there's so much rich truth here that I'm not certain that we could finish before Christmas, but we will. We will. Excuse me while I get comfortable. As we come to God's Word this morning, I would ask that, first of all, we read it or recite it together, the King James Version that we know. And after doing that, I would ask that we bow together once more in prayer. So let us read or recite in unison Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to consider the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus, we thank you for his presence among us. And may we as sheep find ourselves learning from him and responding to him. And Lord, we ask that you'd help us as we concentrate on your word, that your Holy Spirit would have free course in our minds and in our hearts, that as we conclude, we may be able to say that we have been sitting at the feet of the shepherd and go from this place with songs in our mouths that is praise to our God. For Jesus' name's sake, we ask it. Amen. Yesterday, Jeannie and I decided that we would turn on the internet, and I don't really know how to turn it on, so she does it. But I told her, let's find the website of our son-in-law. He is a pastor in New England. He was here with us at a prayer meeting this summer, and we thought we would like to see what his website looks like, and found the website and found that all of his sermons are on the website. And I said to Jeannie, well, let's listen to one of his sermons. And so I'm really quite computer ignorant, dear friends. I appreciate the value, but I am quite ignorant. I was born 30 years too soon. But maybe I'll learn before too late. But the fact is, I said, well, let's... She said, which sermon do you want to listen to? And there were about 30 or 40 or more on the website. And I said, well, let's listen to the sermon that he has on singleness, marriage, and following Jesus from Matthew chapter 19. So we began to, Jeannie was reading it to me off the computer. And he said this in the very beginning. We were away in Toronto last week, so we missed the ice storm. Obviously, this was in January. We missed the ice storm that kept many of you at home, but we did have our share of storms. We were housebound on Sunday by the storm in Toronto. Then on the way back, we drove through a blizzard on the east side of Lake Ontario, around Watertown, on Interstate 81. It was closed down because of blowing snow and accidents. So we were forced onto country road. It was a harrowing experience. For a while, we were in whiteout conditions that made it impossible to see more than a few feet ahead. All that kept us on the road was a large truck right ahead that we called Angel. As long as we could see Angel, we knew where the road was. God protected us and brought us through the storm. But if we had known what we would face before we left Toronto, we certainly would have thought very seriously about whether to go at all. And on he went. Interesting sermon. But what I was interested in was that we really don't know what the road is ahead of us. We don't know what road is ahead of us. We don't know what a day brings forth. The scriptures say, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There are lots of situations before us. And I don't want to presume that spiritually we're all on the right road. Because as I was saying to you last week, there are several different kinds of roads. There are roads to the left that are represented by humanism and materialism and scientism and atheism and religionism and spiritism and modernism. All of these roads that lead in this direction that are well paved and look so attractive. And we're not talking about those roads. We're talking about those who have found the way. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we're talking, and he is talking as to us as Christians, that we know the way, and here it is, the Lord Jesus is the way. But as we think of the way, we don't know what it's going to be. We don't know what avenue we're going to be on in this way or what direction the way is going to take us. We know that the way leads to life. And even though it isn't paved all of the time, and even though it isn't always on the mountaintops, the way is the Lord Jesus, and therefore it's a secure way. It's the right way. It's the only way. The only way that produces satisfaction. But there are times that this way will lead us into the valleys, into the deep valleys, into the valley of the shadow of death. And the psalmist spoke to the shepherd on this occasion. He changed the tense. Before he was talking about the Lord, and the third person is my shepherd. And now he addresses, as a sheep, he addresses the Savior. He addresses the shepherd, and he says to him, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. You are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so he addresses the shepherd and says, thank you that I don't need to really fear. I don't need to fear this avenue regardless of where it goes. And even if it takes me down into the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are there. Now that's worth pondering, because this road does take us to those extremes and to those positions. And if you haven't been on that road with the Savior, cheer up, you will be. You will be. Because the road always takes us to these valley experiences. It's inevitable in our lives. And I'm not asking that you be in a deep valley today, but I think it's worthy of our exploration and to realize something of the valley of the shadow of death. We often think of it as being death itself, that is the valley. And we go down into the valley, and this valley is death. And that's the end. And we come through the valley, that's heaven. And it's not something that we equate with everyday living or everyday experience that we have. But the valley of the shadow of death is a valley through which we go. It isn't an end. It isn't a dead end. This is some valley that we go through. And there's an end to it. And we can look back on it. And we can reflect upon it. And that's what we want to do. We want to reflect on this valley of the shadow of death. You say, well, it's not a very positive thing to be doing on a holiday weekend when we're here for encouragement. I trust that you'll find that it's greater encouragement than you really thought. There are a lot of surrounding uncertainties in the valley, a lot of things about which we don't know anything. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the worst thing I can think about, the valley of the shadow of death, he says to the shepherd, yea, that is true, I will fear no evil. Now, what is in the valley? What are these uncertainties that surround the sheep in the valley? If we could only imagine ourselves, and some of you have been shepherds or have had experience in sheep herding. I haven't had that experience. I said in the very beginning of this study that it would be the most wonderful thing that any seminary could do with their graduate students would be to send them to a country that did have shepherds and did herd sheep, that they could be shepherds for a year in postgraduate study, and I think they would really learn then how to handle people, because so many of us are really like sheep. We're all like sheep. But be that as it may, I would like to remind you that there are surrounding uncertainties. We're in the valley. What are the dangers? Well, there are predators in the valleys. There are wolves in the valleys. There are coyotes in the valleys. There are bears in the valley. There are all kinds of animals that are predators that are danger to us as sheep in the valley. And the only thing of which we can be sure is that the shepherd looks after us. And he is there and he is aware of these animals and of their habits and of their abilities and of their potential for danger. And then down in the valley as well, there's an uncertainty in regard to avalanches. I can remember this past spring, when Jeannie and I with Nancy, our daughter, came from the West Coast, and we decided we would go via Grand Canyon. And I'd always wanted to see Grand Canyon, and I would suggest to you that if you have an opportunity that you go and see it, not just on film, but go and see it. It's awesome, awesome. But as you look down this tremendous cavern and beautiful colors and some trees, but down in the valley, right at the basin, is the Colorado River. And the Colorado River is tree-lined and forest-lined, and there are all kinds of things in the valley there that you don't see on the side walls of the canyon. But sometimes those rocks that seem to be precariously sitting there roll off, and they roll down into the canyon, and they're a danger to anything that it's the base of the canyon. And this is the way it was with sheep. And the shepherd had to be aware all the time of avalanches that took place. And then down in that valley, there are poisonous plants. And he had to know the plants to be sure that the sheep didn't get into those plants and find themselves to be poisoned. And there were floods, and there was fog, and all of these uncertainties that dwelt in the valleys. And David said, as a shepherd himself, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid in the valley, because you are with me. You are with me. The shepherd is the secret to our being in the valleys. And when we see ourselves as sheep in the sheepfold, in the Lord's sheepfold, there are certain things that we need to really be aware of, and certain things that fill us with craven fear. And I have been told, and I wouldn't be in a position to debate it, that there are six fears that seem to be more intense than others. And those fears are named, and I suggest them to you, not necessarily in the order of their importance or the order of their creating fear, but one is poverty. Poverty. We wonder, do we have enough to live? Will we have enough to live? Are we going to be sure of what's going to happen? We may find ourselves in poverty and not have anything. And that's a fear that we have without even necessarily needing to fear. We fear fear. And we should never trouble trouble until trouble troubles us. As I said, lest we make our trouble double trouble. And fear is one of the terrible things that people have. They're afraid of being poor and not having enough. And when we get older, we wonder, is there going to be enough? We don't worry about whether the children are all going to be made rich because of what we have, but we may be wise in our wills to simply say to them, we spent it all. But we need to have enough, we say. So there's a fear of poverty. And then there's a fear of death itself. People say to me, are you afraid to die? And I say to them, I'm not afraid to die, but the dying process doesn't necessarily lead me with some kind of joy. I really am not always delighted about the anticipation of the dying process. And the dying process is in a valley that is desperate and deep, and people worry about the dying process, and many will wonder and worry about what's going to transpire afterwards. And I suggest to you that as a Christian, we know that the end of the road is not death. Death means that we come to a door, a very real door, and the door opens, and the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. He's not saying we go in and out of heaven, but he's the door, and when we come to that place and death comes and the body leaves the spirit or the spirit leaves the body and we go to be with the Lord, we walk into a whole new life, a vista that we can't even begin to appreciate. We walk through the valley. It's through the valley. And the Lord Jesus says to us, as he did in Revelation, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am he that was alive and died, and now I'm alive again forevermore. And I say to you, don't fear. I have the keys of death and of life. Do you know when the children of God were meeting after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus on that first resurrection night, they were filled with fear. I mean, they didn't know what was going to happen, and they weren't talking about the weather. And they weren't talking about the political conditions in the day. They were talking about the Lord Jesus having been crucified so unjustly. They were talking about the terrible, terrible, ignominious death of their Savior. And they were talking about life and talking about death. And they were fearful of death when the Lord Jesus came in and he said to them, peace I give to you. Don't be afraid. I give you my peace. Look, see my hands, and look and see my side, and these are the credentials that I want you to know that I'm the same Lord Jesus that was crucified 3 days ago. And now I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore, and you too shall live if you trust in me. So death, even though it's the last terrible enemy, and it is something that does create fear among us, the dying process itself is something we worry and wonder about. But as we realize the shepherd takes us through, and he knows the way that we take, and there isn't a step that we take or an experience that we have or an uncertainty that we will know that he doesn't know. So we commit that to him. The third thing that people fear is ill health. Ill health. What's going to happen to me? We find out that people are ill, and we have a number of people who are ill, and they've been ill for a time, and we pray for them. This is one of the salient things we pray about. We're delighted to see Gary Knott here today. And he's recovering from knee surgery and has a lot of discomfort. God bless you, Gary, and we're happy that you're both here. And we're happy to have others of you here that we've prayed for. And the Lord looks after us. We're in the hands of good physicians. But I would remind you that we're in the hands of the great physician who knows us so well, who understands us, who knows the end from the beginning, and he superintends those things that transpire in our lives. And that doesn't mean that we can be careless about our health. It doesn't mean we can be careless, but it does mean that we need not to fear, and we can commit it entirely to him. So, ill health we fear. And the other uncertainty that seems to bother us is a loss of a loved one. When someone's taken from us, what a terrible vacuum is created in our hearts and minds. I was reading a story by Dr. Lloyd Carr, who was a young person in the church where I was youth pastor in West Toronto years ago. Lloyd Carr became a professor at Gordon Divinity School, and his daughter committed suicide. And he talked in his book about the terrible grief of losing a loved one, and the terrible grief that some of you experience, and we anticipate it, but the Lord is there. He's there when we're in these periods of grief, and he sustains and he lifts us, and his grace is always enough. And you can look back and say, he has walked with me and he talks with me. It's the future that seems to fill me with fear. What's going to happen? But we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear these uncertainties. And you know, another thing that we fear, according to the experts, is criticism. And we're all being criticized. I guess that a lot of churches, at least when people get home from church on Sunday, they have roast preacher. And I'm aware of that. I would very much prefer if people would come and tell me. And I always tell people I don't wear hobnail boots on my shoes. I don't have hobnail boots. And I would prefer that you come and tell me than tell the children and everyone else that you know. Because it's not that I love criticism, but I'd rather you criticize me directly than criticize me behind my back. And I think this is true of all of us as Christians. Criticism can be so damaging, so hurtful, and we hear about what other people are saying about us, and they haven't done us the scriptural principle and purpose of coming to us, which is God's way. At any rate, criticism is something we fear. But that's a pride thing, I guess. It's a pride thing. We don't want to have our image destroyed. And we need to be finding our pride to be somehow shattered, because we aren't anything of ourselves. There's nothing of me except by the grace of God. And there's one other thing that is listed that is really causing fear for people, and that is old age. Old age. And you know, when young people look at me, when they're in their 50s and look at me, they say, he's an old man. He's an old man. And I look at people who are 90 and say, he's an old man. He's an old man. People who are 15 years older than you are old people. But anyone that's within that range, less than 15, they're getting there, but they're pretty reasonable. And after all, we are the standard, and where we are is where life is at now. But we fear getting old like that. And this fear of old age is something that produces craven fear. It's an uncertainty, and we wonder what it's going to bring. Is it going to bring Alzheimer's? Is it going to bring some terrible disease that we can't cope with? We don't have the resistance for the surrounding uncertainties in the valley. And the Lord is adequate for all of these. And he knows you, and he knows you by name. And when he calls you, you will know that it's his voice. There was a shepherd in Victoria who has a herd of sheep right in the city. And his name is Roy Hawes, and he's a Christian. And we had our Sunday school picnic at his little farm one summer. And as we were having our Sunday school picnic, he gave all of us a lesson on his little ability with his sheep. And he said to all of us, or several of the children, "Why don't you call the sheep?" And he gave some names, and they used the names, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And then Roy came, and Roy used the names. And when that happened, the sheep came running from nowhere. They came running, and they were all there because they knew Roy. And Roy's voice was the distinctive voice that they recognized. And the Lord Jesus is the one whose voice we recognize. And he recognizes our voice. And he knows us by name. And most shepherds know their sheep by name and know them by their peculiarities. And he knows us by name, and he knows all of the dangers that surround us in the valley. And he said, "I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'm there. I'm there. I'm as near as hands and feet." And well, not only is the valley a place of uncertainty, but the valley has some very positive certainties. There are good things about the valley of the shadow of death. Well, you say, what are they? Well, do you know, we need to go through the valleys in order to get to the higher ground. And that's the way the shepherds took their sheep through one place up to higher ground. If you've traveled west and have gone through the Rockies and have taken your way through Rogers Pass, you'll know that it's a very graded slope of hill. The hill isn't so much that you can't go up in a car. The hill isn't so steep that you can't find yourself mounting it. You go down into the valleys by the river, and there's all the verdant pasture and the rich trees and the water flowing. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then you mount the hillside, and it's a hill, and the first thing you know, you're thousands of feet in elevation. You've come up a mountain. And you know, the great higher land is the fruitful land, and the shepherd is taking the sheep to the higher land. But it isn't just a quick fix. It isn't an airlift. You just don't get airlifted to the higher ground. They go through the valleys and up through the verdant pastures and up the hills, and they make it to the higher ground in a long process of time. And those valleys are very important. And I remind you that he takes us through the valleys with the gentlest of grades, the gentlest of grades. He knows the way that we take. I can remember the account that's given to us of Stephen in his dying. And when Stephen was dying, he appealed to the Lord that the Lord would be with him. And he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. They're stoning me to death, but don't lay this sin to their charge." And he asked that the Lord in heaven opened, and the Lord was with him in a wonderful way. We think of the Apostle Paul, who said, "For me to live is Christ. I'm going through the deep valley of death." But he said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." And I find his presence to be so real that he's nearer than my hands and my feet. For me to live is Christ. The shepherd is constantly with me, and he takes us through, and we never need to be caught in the middle feeling ourselves alone. I had a dear friend, the dearest friend I had in life, apart from my parents, and the number one friend of my life, my dear wife, Jeannie. And I don't take that for granted. She is my best friend. But my best male friend, with whom I was raised, knew him all of my life, and we had so much in common, died 10 years ago last week in Sunnybrook Hospital from brain cancer. And he went through a terrible time. And he was in a room in Sunnybrook Hospital, and he was alone. And at the end, he was hardly able to know what was going on. The tumor on his brain was so massive. And I thought to myself, "We can't leave him. We can't leave him. You can't leave him in here alone." And I said to my family, "Don't leave me alone. Never leave me alone. I like to have people around me." And I've often thought of my friend that way. His wife was there. His friends were there, but they were out in the hall. They couldn't necessarily communicate. He spent so much time alone. But he wasn't alone. He wasn't alone. The Lord was with him, and he could reflect upon the scriptures. I've spent time in hospital alone, night after night and period after period alone. But the Lord was so real that I found his presence to be more real than I did when everything was normal. I found that going through those valley experiences were really wonderful times for me. Death is going on to higher ground. And the valley of the shadow of death, the uncertainty that you know and will know in the days that are before us, are grounds that the Lord takes us through. And he's with us And we can say, Lord, I commit it to you. I commit it to you. And I know that you desire that I would have refreshment. And here in the valley are the waters, the rivers, the streams, the pools, the good flowing water. And the sheep loved the water and they needed the water. There wasn't water up on the higher ground, the same as there is in the valley. The valleys produce refreshment. And it's not until we have really known the valley experience that we can console others. God gives us that experience of his refreshment. And don't pity others who are going through these difficult times. We need to pray for each other. We need to support each other. And our prayers somehow even supplant their prayers because they're not able to pray sometimes. But the Lord is with them. And then when they come through, they're able to say, the Lord brought me through. He brought me through. And I can be an encouragement to you as you go through that valley yourself. You know, we sing sometimes, Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing to someone today. But if we pray that prayer as we sing it, Lord, make me a blessing, don't be too surprised if the Lord says, well, if you're really going to be a blessing, you'd better get ready for the valley of the shadow. You'd better get ready for the darkness. You'd better get ready for the depression. You'd better get ready for the discouragement. You'd better get ready for the rejection, because this is the way that you're going to be a blessing. And there isn't a way apart from tribulation in our experience whereby we can know spiritual maturity. There is no spiritual maturity without tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. So we can say, Lord, thank you for tribulation. He said, Peter said to the believers, he said, the trial of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. And we come out as pure gold when the dross is consumed. So thank God. Thank God for the valley of the shadow of death. And then the valleys produce the richest and the best feed and forage. As you look down from Grand Canyon, you don't see very much feed on the sides of those cliffs. But down by the Colorado River, there's lots of feed, lots of room, lots of place. The predators are there. Yes, they're there. But the grass grows best. And I suggest to you that these places where the water is deep, where the predators are there and the difficulties come, is the place that is the very best feeding ground for us as believers. The Word of God comes alive. There was a shantyman missionary in Vancouver Island that I got to know and respect. His name was Percy Wills. I'm not sure that any of you would know him. Most congregations that I speak to, there is someone who knew Percy Wills. He led the Airmen's Christian Soldiers Airmen's Christian Association during the war, and he was Mr. Shantyman until he died a few years ago, and I had the honor of conducting his funeral. And I used to say to old Percy, Percy, I'm having some difficulties. And normally the difficulties would be people problems. I'm having some difficulties, Percy. And he would say, well, Bob, you remember, the swimming is always best in the deepest water. Swimming's always best in the deepest water. Percy, I'm in the deep water. The swimming is great in the deep water. And spiritually, it's true. When we get ourselves into situations where we find that everything seems to be depressing and heavy, and we commit it to him, and we recognize that he is real and there, and his word is rich to our souls. Dear friends, yea, though he lead me, though he lead me in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful testimony. And then he concludes by saying, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the rod was something that the shepherd had. The shepherd didn't carry very much. He only carried a rod and a knapsack and a staff. That's all he really had. He couldn't go about with a great suitcase full of things. He didn't even have a medicine cabinet. He had oil, but he had a rod and a staff that were basic instruments in his hand. And that rod had been taken out of a root, and the root had been formed, and he was able to make that root. It was hard wood, and he became very proficient in the use of that rod. He would throw it at a predator and strike the predator. He was better than most baseball pitchers in professional baseball in putting that rod exactly into the mitt where it needed to go. And that rod was used to protect against predators. That rod was used even to count the sheep very gently. The rod was used as a protection, and the rod was used for even an indication of endearment. And I say to you that the rod in our experience is the Word of God, the Word of God. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Satan would intimidate us into saying, you don't need the Bible, you don't need the Word of God. A young man came to me this week, a dear young man, and I have learned to love him, and I want to be his mentor and an encouragement to him. He said, I went to university. The first thing they told me, that in the name of honesty, abandon everything you believe. In everything you believe, in the name of honesty, I know that this is said and done in philosophy courses and also in psychology courses. They say, abandon everything. And so he said, I did. In the name of honesty, I did. And I listened to the new philosophies, some of which I've mentioned this morning. And he said, as a consequence, I stopped reading my Bible. I didn't think that was fair if I was going to be honest. I didn't read my Bible. And he said, I stopped coming to church. I haven't been to church for a long time. I stopped those practices because I wanted to find out for myself. And that's Satan's great tactic. Get us out of the Word of God. It's God's rod. And God gives it to us as our defense mechanism, as our preservative against evil. The Lord Jesus used the Scriptures when he was warring with Satan in the wilderness, in every situation. The Word of God. Then there's the staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the staff is almost like a cane with a bigger crook on it and longer. But the shepherd used that staff that he would take a little sheep and just put it around the sheep's neck to protect the sheep from going astray, from getting away from the herd, from the fold. He would use that staff in all kinds of ways to even spread grass, to do things for the sheep that they needed. And the staff was an indication of affection and love and care and provision. He used the staff very capably. And I can use these canes pretty well. If you have me for dinner sometime, if I'm going to be rude, I can even reach across the table with a cane and get the salt and pepper. But my Ginny doesn't like me doing that because it's pretty impolite, pretty impolite. But you know, the staff is like the Holy Spirit of God. God's Word is the rod, and the Holy Spirit is the staff. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and writes it on our minds and our hearts and our consciences, and we come alive. And you know, the interesting thing is that when we're in difficulty, God brings His Word to our attention. That's why we need to teach our children to memorize it. That's why we need to meditate upon it, that it will come to us. And when I find myself in difficulty, not that I'm a model, I'm not. I wish I was. But when I find myself in difficulty, the Scriptures come to my mind. They come automatically to my mind. And I find myself saying, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. And other Scriptures come to my mind. And you know, I can't do that with Shakespeare. Shakespeare doesn't come to my mind. Doesn't help me at all in those kinds of difficulties. But the Word of God is quick when we're in the valley of the shadow of death. And the Holy Spirit brings it to our attention, and the Holy Spirit gives us direction and comfort and grace, and we go through. We go through. And one day we'll be through. And when we are through, I suggest to you that God will use us to the greater degree than ever we could have been used before. When Peter found himself being tempted to deny the Lord Jesus, he said he would never do it. But when he was tempted to not deny the Lord Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, not if you are converted, when you are brought back, Peter, then you'll be able to strengthen the brethren. You'll be able to strengthen the brethren. And that's the privilege God gives to us. And I read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. And with this I really conclude. 2 Corinthians 3 verses 3 and 4. We have been through the valley, and now having been through the valley, we can say this. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers, as a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And he tells us that we will become encouragers and comforters to those with whom we have contact. We've been there. And may God help us to be that, that we would be more useful, having been through the valley, and be ready for another valley, and ready for a time of rejoicing in the face of all of the uncertainties. May God bless you. And I would pray that as the Lord would help us, we may be an encouragement to you. And if you're in a valley right now, please recognize the presence of the Lord Jesus and feed on his word and allow the Spirit of God to speak words of comfort to you and thank him. Thank him. And say, Lord, I can't in the valley, but you can. Please do. And I will thank you. And God bless you. If there are any that we could help in any spiritual way, that's what we're here for. And thank you for the honor and privilege you give us when you do speak with us. You can call us by phone. You can speak with us at the door. You can come on Wednesdays. Any of these things, we want to be available to you. May God help us. And incidentally, and it's not just incidentally, we're gathering tonight at 6 o'clock. And tonight I would like to share, as well as our singing together, we have wonderful fellowship and refreshments. So I'd like to share with you tonight the story of probably one of my very favorite Bible characters. I want to talk to you about him. And I hope you'll come on this holiday weekend. Sunday evening. And God bless you and bless us together as we continue on following the shepherd to the end of the road and glorying in him. Let's pray. Father, you know the words that we have spoken, and we pray that you'd eliminate the words that have been dross, that have been words that have not honored you, and we pray that you'd cause your word to be rich to our hearts and souls. We have been in the valley. We are facing valleys in our experience. We may be in the valley now. And Lord, we know there are uncertainties that seem to harass us all of the time. And we pray that you'd help us to know that you are aware of these things and that you are sufficient for these things and we can commit everything to you and trust you and not fear. And Lord, we do pray that even in the valley experience, we may recognize that we're going through and that you're taking us through, and that as you do, we will come out victors, stronger in the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the refreshment of the water, and thank you for the feeding, even of the rich forage that is there in the valley for us to know. May our Lord Jesus be honored with our lives, even together as we serve him in this place where you've put us, that we may realize we've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And give us souls for our hire and fruit for our labor, that we may see new sheep in the fold. And Lord, we will praise you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.